Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where you and I both know you have tuned in to find out what in the world you didn't know about real estate. And so today you're going to get to meet, well, let's just call him a designer realtor because his name is Dennis Gagini. And you might think it's Gagini like I did in my head, but he's like Chanel or Gucci. So we'll call him the luxury brand of real estate. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Oh, I am fantastic. I'm so glad you're willing to come bring your energy to the show.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad you invited me. It's a pleasure to speak with you, especially somebody that's a stalwart in the industry and who I consider a mentor. Thank you.
I haven't been called a stalwart before, but I've been called a lot of things. But yours is a nicer version, so I'll take it. All right. So tell our listeners where you're located, how long you've been in the business, any particular background we had ought to know.
Well, I've been in the business 17 years, going to be going on my 18th year. Started right out of high school, and like Murder, She Wrote, that's all she wrote. And I've been doing it ever since. I'm in southern New Jersey, cover from the capital, Cape to Cape May, and located in Vineland, New Jersey.
You know, I love how you said you got in real estate out of high school, and then you referenced Murder, She Wrote, which is a dead giveaway of your age. There ain't a young person on the planet that's even heard of Murder, She Wrote.
Well, believe it or not, Lee, I'm only 35.
I don't believe it at all. Now I know you've got a good hairstylist or a good facialist or something. But, you know, now I know we're real estate twins because we got in the same time.
Yeah. Yes, we did. You know, right out of high school. It's so funny because my mom was like, you know what? You should really try this because I was going to college at the same time. Got out of high school, got the my high school diploma, and that summer I went right to the real estate pre-licensing course, and at the suggestion of my mom, and that's all she wrote. That's how it went from there. Helped pay for college.
So how did you survive in the commission industry being that young? With obviously you're not going to have any savings at that point, no spouses that would be supporting you at that point.
Well, first I have to be very grateful for my parents. First and foremost, grateful for my parents. They were a fabulous help to me. And then I also did have another job. I was also a certified pharmacy technician at my, ironically now, my best friend owned the pharmacy at a pharmacy. So, and then once it started to get to the point where I couldn't do all three at the same time, you know, you can only wear so many hats. Mm-hmm. But in the full, what did real estate and doing it full time ever since then. So, and that was about 20 years old, believe it or not. Took 2 years and then to get everything going. And by that third year, because like we always say in the third year, a lot of your business should be referrals. And that's mm-hmm. how it was. So
you know, there in our profession, the average realtor is 56 years old. And so you're not even to the average in the profession yet, but you've been in longer than most people. So what did you experience being a really young person in real estate? Did you have a harder time getting clients to trust you, or did you have trouble trusting yourself? Or talk to me for a minute about that, because it's a big industry challenge that we have. We're trying to attract younger people into real estate because we need their perspective and their energy. But it's a pretty scary prospect to look at it when you've got to start from scratch. So I'd love to hear your perspective.
Well, you know, it's so funny that you mentioned that because I didn't experience it as much as some others did. However, and I didn't know it at the time, but I do now, you know, with experience and age comes wisdom and knowledge. The people that I gravitated towards were the seniors. And as a millennial, now we all know that millennials and seniors are what we know as the greatest generation. They work hand in hand. They work beautifully together. And that was what was part of my bread and butter, believe it or not, when I first started. I would work beautifully with them. It was just like working with my grandparents, so to say. And with that being said, the baby boomers, they had a little bit of a challenge. Don't get me wrong, but I also, my sister's 7 years older than me, so I had a rapport with a lot of her friends. So they were at that age group where they were ready to buy a home. And with that, I had that rapport with them, but it was a little bit of a challenge. But when it came to the seniors, they're like, oh no, honey, you go ahead and do it. We know it. We trust you. We trust you. You're like our grandchild. And that really made a big difference for me. And I think confidence goes a long way too. Confidence can make you go a long way, if you ask me.
So I want to dig into that for a minute, because I don't know that I've heard any other millennial express what you just said so eloquently about being a natural fit to work with the greatest generation. Because when we're looking at real estate training, and you've seen it too in the educational stuff, if they talk millennials, it's all about, oh, text, 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 text. But what you're talking about is the opposite of text. It's the old school relationship building approach, because the greatest generation may have their computers and stuff, but they don't live and breathe that it's not attached to their hands like ours are. So how do you think other millennials could lean into what you found to be a natural fit?
Ooh, that is a really good question. Well, first and foremost, you just got to be like Nike. You just got to do it, okay? The more you overthink things, it's not going to work, if you ask me. I think you need to start, first of all, go for your senior's real estate specialist designation. I think that's a really good start to go from there. And if you have your grandparents are still living, look at your grandparents. See who their sphere of influence is. And also,
and go visit them.
Go visit them. Yes, exactly. Go visit them. And then also, one of the things that I did too, we have a local swim club. And on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays at 9:30 a.m., they had swimming aerobics. And generally, it was more of a greater generation swimming aerobics class. And I would always go to that, and I would just nurture those conversations and start talking with them. I know.
I liked you before, but now I love you. I love you now because you went to water aerobic to the old people. Awesome thing I've ever heard.
I went to the water aerobics, girl, and I tried to tell myself in my brain, this was my exercise for the day, okay? I tried. Keyword tried.
Well, your heart rate got up in there, then you were way out of shape, but that's all right.
Yeah, exactly. And let me tell you, but when people started to move a little bit slower, I got a little bit scared. I'm like, I might have to break out my CPR. I don't know. I'm the realtor. I'm not the EMT.
Okay? Yes, but you've got a driver's license still, so you can still haul somebody off to the hospital.
Yes, I can. You got it. And I know how to swim.
Okay, so I know you came on the show. You came to tell me a story, but I had to dig into that for a minute because I think it's brilliant. And I mean, it just goes to the heart of everything that I preach about realtors and what we can be doing better. And that's leaning into our own humanity. My gosh, what you're doing. You know, we make fun of the water aerobics, but for real, I mean, you're right. Connecting.
It is. And you know, they're the kind of people that I really want to nurture because I think they're like a forgotten generation. They are.
Oh, honey, I think you're right.
And I look at it like it's my own grandparent. I've always told individuals I look at it like it's my own mom and pop up or grandmom and grandpa. And you want to protect them to the best of your ability, you know? So that's just me, I guess.
You're my new favorite. All right. So you came on the show to tell a crazy story. You know, the ground rules of the story part of the podcast, which is no F-bombs, GDs, or see you next Tuesday, but nothing else bothers me because I'm obviously a salty woman. And if there's guilty people involved, do not use real names because we'll behave. And so I can't wait to hear what crazy something you have to share besides the crazy ability you have to be awesome. I'm so touched right now. You can tell I'm tired and I get touched this early in the morning.
Thank you, Lee. I appreciate that. The feeling's mutual. So my second mother, who's from Dallas, Texas, she would always say, see you next Thursday.
Oh, she changed up a little bit. Okay. Texas people like to be special.
They do. Just like it was not a Long Island iced tea, it was a Texan tea to her.
Well, you know, Texas tea is good.
It is. Yeah, too good. So, too funny.
In your 17 years, you got to tell me somebody comes up to you at a cocktail party and says, Dennis, tell me something about real estate. What's your go-to, y'all not going to believe I've seen this?
Girl, let me just tell you, it was just recently, I thought I had sold it all. I do a lot of foreclosures and REO properties as a listing agent, and it was back in roughly about May, I got in my portfolio and in my queue, this new listing, that's about 45, 50 minutes from my office and about the same distance from my home office, although we can't classify it as home office, you know. So, and I went to look at the property and I figured, you know what? I like to go at nighttime at the, when I first see if it's vacant, if somebody's living there, because what's mm-hmm. the first thing that's going to be on is the lights. Okay. So the lights are on. I'm like, okay, lights are on. I'll come back, you know, cause I was generally in that area, ironically, for another one at the same time. So I went back the next time during the daytime, knocked on the door, and there's a sign right at that. When you walked in, it was like a little mud room. Walked into that little mud room and knocked on the door, and it said, "Stupid people will be shot." So I'm like, I'm like, oh, this is a person over my from my own heart to a degree. You know, I'm a hunter, fisherman, avid sportsman, but I'm like, you know what? This is too
but
good for me.
But you pay your bills.
Yeah, this is like Shark Tank to me. I'm good, but I'm out like the Shark Tank on this one. So I left. Nobody answered. So the bank had me want to go back out again to do what's called a cash for keys, where you try to offer them cash to vacate the property, keep it room swept condition, and they'll give us the keys and we'll give you cash. Kind of like a win-win situation because you're going to vacate the property no matter uh-huh. what. You might as well get some money out of it if you can, okay? So, mm-hmm. I go back another day, during the daytime, knock on the door, and this lady answers the door. I'll put it as lady. You'll find out.
Because you're generous.
I'm generous. You'll find out in just a little bit why I say that. And I introduced myself. I said who I am, you know, and I just said, look. The bank asked me to come out. I'm just the messenger, you know, kill them with the kindness, put the good smile on the face, you know, do what you got to do. And I asked her who she was. She tells me who her name was. And for purposes, I'm just going to say her name was Lynn. Okay. That is not her real name, but I'm just going to say her name was Lynn. And Lynn tells me, well, the owner's not here right now. And I'm like, and I'm just a friend. I'm like, okay, first of all, I think you're giving me a you know what kind of story. She's like, well, I'll go get a cell phone number for you. So she goes back in the house to get a cell phone number, brings it back out. And I'm like, okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, you know. And I'm thinking this is probably the most bogus number. Once I leave this house, it's going to be like, the number you have reached is no longer in service, you know, one of those kind of deals. So I'm like, can I take a few photos while I'm here? And she's like, well, I don't think you should do that because he didn't give you permission. I'm thinking, well, honey, first of all, she no longer owns the darn house, but whatever, you know, I'll still work with you. I'll let you feel good.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you them butterflies in your stomach, you know? So I leave and I get about, I would say about 5 miles down the road. So I'm like, let me go just try this number. Well, it was actually a live number, believe it or not. I thought I was going to get a disconnected number. So I call it, leave a message. Well, the next day, I get the most irate person on the phone, on my voicemail saying, the number you're trying to reach, it's no longer Michael. And I'm like, oh, okay. So whoever that number was, they've been giving that number out to more than multiple sources, not just me, but mm-hmm. multiple individuals. So I'm like, okay, already been had. I already knew I was going to be had. So, but you know, I'll try to mold myself around them. So I have to go back the next time. And at this point, we're in probably into June. And in the interim, I'm sending letters to them saying, hey, hi, who? This is me. You know, the bank wants to give you money if you like to have some money. You know, who doesn't like to get some money? Okay. You know, and the letter was really, in a way, decided towards their favor. And the bank was like, yeah, this is a really good letter. We're going to use this in the future. So I'm like, okay. Yeah, well, at least I tried, but it didn't work that way, which you'll find out in just a minute. So I get back, and like I said, in the interim, they're getting those letters, both regular mail, certified, you know, the whole nine yards. And I'm also reporting to the bank, yeah, it's somebody's there, and I give them a deadline. Look, give me an answer by XYZ date, mm-hmm. or furthermore, it's going to have to take place. You know, you got to cut it off at some point, you know. So, and I try to give them like 30 days to think about it, you know, and stuff like that. So I went back that second time. Nobody was there. Go back to the third time. Well, this time somebody is there. And I'm like, oh, shoot. I'm like, why didn't I bring my body armor with me? Why didn't I not bring my body armor? At least it's in a more populated area. So if somebody hears a shot, somebody's going to hear something's up. Okay.
That's right. Somebody's at least they can find your body.
Somebody's going to be able to find. Yeah. Somebody's going to find my body. You know, the popo's going to be called, you know. And yes, I did. I looked at what they were avid sportsmen. So I figured, you know what? Let me put my avid sportsman outfit on. I'm not going to go in the suit and tie or anything of that nature because you got to know right. what your audience is. So I'll put my jeans, my polo shirt on, my camo hat with my hunter deer on, you know, try to build that rapport to a degree, you know, with them. Cause if you can engage them in conversation, that's a start. So yeah, they didn't want to answer the front door, but on the side of the house, you could see cause of the way the house is set up, there's a sliding glass door and there is two with the sliding glass door open with the screen in and you could see people just sitting there. So I'm like, you can't play me like that much like a fool. You know, come on. I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. Okay. So I go, I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to get shot, I'm going to get shot. Let me just go up because there was another step to go to that sliding glass door. So I go and knock on the screen door and they're like, how they go on not answer at this point unless they think they're a mannequin. Okay. So they answer it, knock on that little screen door and they're like, hi. Who are you? And I'm like, hey, this is who I am. It's another female. It's not Lynn. And I'm like, oh, are you Michael? And the gentleman's like, no, I'm not Michael. And I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, I'm his nephew. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, I'm trying to get a hold of Michael. And I tried to give him I said, here's a paper. If you could please have him give us a call. You know, I'm representing the bank under local real estate agent who they hired to have come out to offer what's called a cash for keys. Give him the information. Give him the letter. I said, please have him call me. I want to really try to give him some money. I said, even though they've authorized me X amount of money, I might be able to get him a little bit more. You know, try to get that report. Try to negotiate that deal almost. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he says, okay. And I leave. Obviously, I'm not getting any phone calls or anything. So at that point, I'm sending out more letters. I've sent out more letters than this people than the post office has seen mail in one day's worth of mail. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nowadays, and anyway.
Nowadays. And a certified letter. So I would even text them, but I didn't even have the right cell phone number. And I figured if I send a text to that one number, I'll get an irate text back. So
yeah, they might have cried. They'd had enough.
they've had enough because that number has been played more times than Carter has pills, okay? So, that being said, I go back out one last time, and it's now Lynn is back. Lynn is back in action. She's there this time, and she wasn't as friendly this time. So I give their information to her, but at this time, the bank's like, if at all costs, can you please take some kind of pictures? And I'm like, okay. So I take pictures and everything of the outside, because it sits off the road just a little. You can see the house from the road, but the way it's set up, you can see it, but you could also be able to take a picture. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking just a real quick few photos and then I get in my car and I see her running out trying to take pictures of my car. And I'm like, go ahead. So somebody has my license plate out there. It's probably on the internet somewhere in some place. God only knows where on the internet. Okay. Or Facebook or one of the social media somewhere. Okay. A picture of my license plate. I say it humorously, but then I leave and I'm like, told the bank, I'm like, look, I think I'm pressuring her too much. And at that point, the expiration date for what we gave them was deadline. So they filed for the eviction and everything. We have a date set up in September. Go for the eviction. And when the eviction date was set up, I had already giving them letters like, look, I know you got the letter, but it's not too late. We can still work with it. Even 2 days before the eviction. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was still sending this. Now, might I add you, the eviction was just a day after Labor Day. Yeah. That's always lovely.
Right.
That's always lovely. You're coming right off a holiday and boom, here we go.
Well, so they were already hungover, so they're not in a good frame of mind. So it's just going to be knock it out.
Oh, girl, you don't know how bad it was. Wait till you hear. Ooh, child, let me tell you. I go there, meet the police officers there, and I go and I knew it wasn't going to be too good when I saw the canine officer there. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a rough one. This is going to be a rough one. Okay. Been here, done that. But anytime the canine officer's there, you know, it's going to be rough.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, stay here. Locksmith's there. The movers are on the way. The movers were coming from 2 hours away. Don't get me started on that. That's a whole nother story. So I'm like, okay. And they get a knock on the door. Nobody's answering. Knock on the door again. Nobody's answering. And they're like, we know you're in there. We hear you scuffling around. So they call the locksmith over to go unlock the door. And then the guy says he's threatening to blow the place up. He's threatening to blow the place up. And they're like, okay. So apparently they've already had issues with this guy in the past because they already knew what the deal was with him. Next thing I know, I not only see the three sheriff's cars that I had, two regular and the third canine officer, but I see another sheriff's officer come, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be really good. Then I see another sheriff's officer come, and I'm like, okay, we're up to five. Now I see another sheriff's officer come. We're up to six. Then I see four of the local police department cars come, and I'm like, shit just got real. Shit just got really real, okay? And my struggle is going to be real. The struggle is going to be real for me when I get into this house. So by this time, there's 10 cop cars there coming. And then I see the SWAT team come. And
I'm like, gracious.
I'm like, what in the hell is going on? At this point, I really don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, I see, move your truck back. Move your truck back. And I'm like, okay. I'm not even asking. I'm just like getting the hell out of Dodge, okay?
Seriously?
As quickly as I can. I'm like, run as far away as I can. Go there. Then the cop comes to me. He's like, well, we got an issue. He's held up in the house with the girlfriend. And I'm like, oh, girlfriend's held up in the bedroom. He's out, you know, trying to do what he wants to do. And he's threatening to blow the place up. And they're like, we know him all too well. And I'm like, oh, I can see that when I saw the canine officer come. But now that I see 10 of you already here, plus the SWAT team, I know shit's real. So at that point, another thing comes. What do I see? The damn bomb squad come. Because they must have knew that the bomb squad. I'm like, okay. They blocked the whole block off. And it was just like the most surreal thing I've ever seen. Okay. I already only had one cup of coffee at that point. And I'm like, why in the world did I not have more than one cup of coffee this morning? Okay. Let me run on Dunkin', but I'm not running on Dunkin' this morning. So make a long story short, they busted through with, they had the locksmith open the front door. The guy he had a gun, and I heard one pop. Unfortunately, thank God, nobody was injured. Nobody was injured. That's the most important thing. Nobody was injured. Because I really think that if he could have got a clear shot at them, he would have shot at them, so to say. And I'm just very grateful that they, as somebody who comes from a law enforcement family, I'm so glad that nothing happened. And they went in and they found him manufacturing bombs. He tried to run and they caught him. They got the girlfriend and they found where he was trying to manufacture bombs and everything. They come back out to me. And at this point, this is where it gets really twisted. I see this lady come because I'm in the parking lot, but because it was like although it was a residential house, it was more in a commercial area off of main drag. So a little side road off of main drag. I see this woman coming up to one of the police officers. I'm like, well, who's this? You know, is this just a neighbor? No, it can't be that easy. It's the ex-wife who just happened to be in.
Of course it is.
It just happened to be in the area. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And she's talking to the police officer. Then the police officer, or I should say it was a sheriff's officer, not a police officer. Let me correct my terminology. Sheriff's officer comes over to me. He's like, look, this is what's going on. We had somebody held up in the bedroom. They're manufacturing bombs. There's guns in the house. This is the ex-wife. And if she can get some of the stuff out. And I'm like, well, but we can't let either of you do anything at this point. Because we got to get him all wrapped up, situated, the girlfriend all situated. And we have other cops coming. And we have more canine dogs coming. Because we got to search this whole house. So I'm like, okay. So I get her number and everything. She's a little hysterical, you know, not at me, but just of the situation at hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all the local businesses are coming out. And I'm like, oh, God. First thing that I'm thinking is, okay, the news is going to come. I do not want to be having my face in the newspaper. I don't want my company's name in the newspaper or anything. I mean, it's just one of those things, you don't want to go there.
Right.
I'm like, they're like, you can leave and you can come back. I'm like, thank you, Lord.
Okay,
let me just, you don't have to tell me twice. I'm getting out of Dodge.
Exactly.
Hasta la silla. So later that day, it's about 2:30, it's about 3:30, 4 o'clock, actually. I get a call saying, hey, you know, we're done here for the day, but we got the emergency search warrant. Can you come lock the place up? But by the way, we have to come back tomorrow. So I'm like, okay, I go to lock the place up. Now, by the time I get there, it's about 5 o'clock, and I was there until about 9 o'clock, which this is part of our industry and everything. They tell me, okay, well, while I'm there with the two officers, they're still searching. I'm like, well, am I in your way? This is an active crime scene. If, you know, you want me to still be here locking the doors? They're like, oh, no, you're good to go. Go ahead, do what you got to do. So I go with the property preservation company to lock the door. And while I'm there, they're proceeding to tell me, oh, well, yeah, the guy had 50 guns in the house.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. I'm like, what was I thinking going to knock on this door as many times as I did? So I'm like, well, while I'm here, I might as well take a look at the house, see what I can see, take some pictures for the bank now that I'm in the inside. Some of the stuff I saw, girl, so there was things in there I didn't even know what they were, okay? There was things I did not even know what this was. And I thought I was a pretty smart individual, okay? But of course, I saw, you know, different things, and then you saw this sexual toys in the one bedroom, because the house at this point has been pretty much ransacked by the police officers searching for everything, okay? Then you go into one bedroom, there's the adult magazines, and I'm putting that very as politically correct as I can. Then you see the adult toys, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I get back out to the property preservation company who's locked, changing the door, and I hear the two officers talking while they're still searching the house. And I hear sheriff's officer say, well, what's this? I didn't know what this is. And I hear the other one laughing, and the bedroom's not too far from us. And he's like, oh, well, this is something for females. And I'm like, and he's like, females? And I'm thinking the same thing. Well, what's this for females? And it's something that a gynecologist would use, okay, during an examination. I don't need to go any further. And I'm like, and if you knew what it was an instrument. And I'm like, and he's like, oh, okay. So I'm like, man, this is something I never heard of. I'm a male, thank God. But I'm like, I had to go in the bedroom just to see what this is. I'm always having that inquisitive mind. I had to learn, you know, we always want to learn something new. Well, that's one thing I did not want to learn new, so to say. So I see that. I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy. So I leave and we get it locked up. Go back the next day. Well, come to find out, they found 11 more guns at this house. Although there's 11 more guns and we're up to 61, there's still one missing. It was an AK-47 that is missing. Eventually, they did find an AK-47, but then the nephew tried to break in. And while I was doing one of my inspections, tried to threaten to shoot me. And ever since then, I've had the cops escort me to the property like I was the president of the United States with a motor. Because I won't go to the house by myself. And it's still progressing. You can't, you know. And ironically, it's Realtor Safety Month when all this is going down in September. And folks, if I can leave you with anything, always use your head. Don't be the poster child for Realtor Safety Month. Please do not do it. Please, it's not worth the commission or anything whatsoever. Use your head and common sense and be aware of your surroundings. Because it was a hot mess, to say the very least.
And I think we could add that if you're a consumer listening to this and somebody comes to your house and offers you cash for keys, take the cash and go. So that none of the rest of this has to be exposed to the world.
It was in the paper and everything. And I'm like, oh, thank God they didn't use the company name, my name, nothing. And they had the picture of the guy in the paper and everything. But yes, just take the keys and cash and run. You know, it was horrible. So but what are you going to do?
Well, it's typical in real estate. You get a house with a story and it's got all the stories in one house.
It did. So, it got all of it.
Dennis, if somebody's looking for an amazing realtor in New Jersey who can not only treat grandparents like their own, but can also manage when a house has gynecological equipment in it with the guns. How can they reach you?
Well, they can reach me on my cell phone, which is 856-455-SOLD. That's 7653. Again, 856-455-7653. My email address is dennis@njrealtorservices.com. Or they can find me on the web at www.njrealtorservices.com.
And as usual, if you're listening to this podcast while you are in motion, never fear, because all of Dennis's contact information will be in the show notes for this episode. Dennis, thank you for coming on the podcast and giving us some perspective at first and then a laugh second. Always appreciated.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you so much for inviting me. God bless you, darling. God bless.
And if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, and you want to top Dennis's story with something that happened in your real estate life, give me a shout at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks be featured in a future episode of Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Subscribe for more, and we will see you next time. Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.